The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Jana couldn't make it today, but she'll be back again on Monday. And did you know that today is National Wear Red Day? I didn't know that until I saw it on the news this morning. Apparently this day has been around since 2004, so about 12 years. I don't remember it, but it's probably a worthwhile day. It's a day set aside by the American Heart Association, where they recommend everybody wear red in order to raise awareness of heart disease in women. And I think raising awareness of heart disease in everybody is a good idea. After all, it is the number one killer in this country. But I think the thinking is that it doesn't affect women to the extent that it affects men. So they decided to have a day to try and correct some of the misunderstandings about heart disease, particularly in women. And it is slightly different disease in women, I think partly because we don't think of women as getting heart disease and heart attacks as much as men do, but they have different symptoms. And a lot of times they might be missed because they don't necessarily get that crushing chest pain that we see or hear about with men. But the important fact is that more women than men die of heart disease every year. Heart disease also kills more women than all types of cancer combined. I think women have been made pretty knowledgeable about breast cancer, for example, but heart disease will kill more women than all the cancers combined together. While most women believe that their greatest health risk comes from breast cancer or uterine cancer, it really comes from heart disease and stroke, and nearly 90% of all women have at least one risk factor for heart disease. And we're going to talk about the risk factors in a minute because really prevention should be the goal, although the backup to prevention is treatment, but not enough emphasis is placed on prevention of any of the illnesses that we're all susceptible to. And as I mentioned before, heart disease affects men and women differently. That might be because of hormonal differences. There's another major difference. Men are larger than women. Their blood vessels are larger. So there are variations in the presentation of the illness. Now, the hormones play a role. It was... In fact, this was the impetus to the use of hormone replacement therapy in women because they had observed that premenopausal women seemed to have a much lower incidence of heart attacks than men of the same age. But the incidence in postmenopausal women equaled that of men. So they said, ha-ha, must be something about the hormones. And that's when they said, let's give women hormone replacement therapy in hopes of reducing the heart attack rate in women. So they started out giving estrogen. Now, mind you, when mainstream medicine does anything, it's always with a patented substance as opposed to a natural one. Natural substances you cannot patent. That means anybody can recommend it. Whereas when you patent something, only that drug company has the exclusivity to sell that product. So that's what they do. They make variations of various substances, in this case, variation of estrogen. So it's not bioidentical. And they gave it to women. And they observed that the women, the postmenopausal women getting the drug company estrogen, the patented estrogen, or the estrogen variation, actually had a reduced incidence of heart attacks compared to women of the same age who were postmenopausal who lacked estrogen. But over a few years, they also observed that the women getting the estrogen developed more cancers. And that, of course, created another problem. The cancers they were getting were breast cancer and uterine cancer. And it's an important observation that was probably missed here, that the cancer was brought on by estrogen dominance. Because these women were given estrogen without balancing it out with a progesterone. And an important distinction is being made here because the drug companies do not sell progesterone. They sell progestin, which is, again, an artificial or synthetic progesterone. However, you can get progesterone from a pharmacy, and the brand name is Prometrium. But all the other types of progesterones, you find them in birth control pills, in some of the products like Prempro. These are all artificial hormones. So when they made that observation, they gave the women progesterone, but not the bioidentical type, in other words, identical to what women made. They had to make their own patented progesterone. They called it a progestin. And when they gave it to women, the incidence of the cancer disappeared, but they lost the benefit in protecting heart disease at the same time. So they said, well, okay, now they came to the conclusion that giving hormone replacement therapy really wasn't much benefit. But they grouped them all together. Giving artificial hormone replacement therapy does not have the benefit that giving a bioidentical hormone replacement therapy does. So in any event, restoring a hormonal balance to women. By the way, we talked about estrogen dominance being a risk factor for cancer in women, breast cancer, uterine cancer, for example. It's also a factor in premenopausal women, because even premenopausal women can become estrogen dominant. So that factor has to be checked by the physicians they're seeing, and I know it's not. Based on the patients that come to see us, and I ask them that question. They're being put on hormones. It could be birth control pills or the artificial hormones that the drug companies make, but they never get checked. Their hormones don't get checked. In fact, there was a patient recently was diagnosed with breast cancer, and the doctors never checked their hormones just to see what's going on there. Now, getting back to the heart attacks in women, they seem to be much more severe and carry a higher risk of death and complications in women compared to men. And that's an observation. In the first year following a heart attack, women are 40% more likely to die than men. And in the 6 years following a heart attack, women are twice as likely to have a second event as compared to men with similar disease. So how do you interpret that information? I think the best way to interpret it is that the disease is not being recognized in its earliest stages, and we'll talk about what the earliest stages of the disease are in a moment. So the conclusion that's been made is that women with heart disease are undertreated and underserved. I'm not sure. You know, women compared to men go to physicians more than men do for a lot of different reasons. So I'm not sure if they're under-treated or underserved. The doctors just may not be recognizing the symptoms that women have compared to what men might complain of. And here's another factor coming into it now. It's becoming more and more difficult to even get anybody treated with the way insurance, health insurance is set up these days. So many restrictions being placed on the physician as far as what they can do to help the patient. And they do this, and you would think, okay, the insurance company has never seen the patient, and yet they're telling the doctor how to take care of the patient. And they carry no responsibility either. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. The doctor is stuck taking care of the patient. So that may be part of the reasons too. And what am I saying here? A lot of the diagnostic tests that might be warranted are may not, you know, the insurance company may not cover it, or in many cases it was never covered by insurance. So a perfect example of that, and probably one of the best tests for identifying people at increased risk of developing heart disease, is a calcium score obtained by a heart scan. Now, what does that do? When you see calcifications in the coronary arteries, you know that that's the beginning of plaque formation. And that test is not covered by insurance. It's been around for a while, by the way. And how would that test be used if you were to have the test? If you have more calcifications in your coronary arteries than expected for someone of the same age and gender, then you know that you're at increased risk. The point is, you will become abnormal well before symptoms ever arise, and that's the point of the test. In other words, waiting for people to get sick and have symptoms is waiting too long to intervene with that illness. I mean, that's the whole issue here. And the other observation that's been made is women many times are sent home from the hospital with these atypical symptoms, only to find out later they suffered a heart attack. Now, I find that hard to believe these days, but who knows? I mean, when you go to, as many of you listeners might know, if you go to the emergency room complaining of chest pain, they'll do some tests to see if the heart's involved. But the problem, I guess, with women is they don't complain of chest pain. So these atypical symptoms don't trigger the possibility of a heart-related problem, and that may be what the issue is. That music means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be back on Monday, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and Janet couldn't make it today, but she'll be back on Monday with us. We've been talking about heart disease, particularly in women. Today is National Wear Red Day. That's something the American Heart Association started approximately 12 years ago. And that's to bring awareness to the fact that heart disease is a serious problem in women. And probably not enough women are aware of that. In fact, heart disease kills more women than all cancers combined, and it kills more women than men. So it's something that certainly needs to be addressed. But what really needs to be addressed is how do we identify not just women, but men as well, at risk of developing heart disease before they're at risk of dying from heart disease? Because that's what's happening now. Sometimes the first symptom that they might experience is a heart attack or even sudden death. So we need to try and do a better job in those categories. So another point is that women with heart disease are treated the same as men, and maybe that's not the way it should be. I think the whole point with heart disease in both men and women is our approach is we wait for people to have symptoms because that's the way our whole healthcare system is based. Why are you going for that stress test, for example, if you don't have chest pain? But then you have to know that a stress test could be normal and you can have up to 70% blockages in your coronary arteries and still pass the stress test. So a stress test is not the test to identify people with heart disease. The stress test is the test to identify people who are candidates for surgery. You know, so again, if you want to identify people with heart disease before you become a surgical candidate, a test like the calcium score would be a good one to do. But even before that, even before resorting to a calcium score, you want to at least change some of the risk factors associated with developing heart disease. And these apply to both men and women. Smoking, a major risk factor. Diabetes. Now, let me go back to smoking for a second. Smoking, as we know, I think everybody associates smoking with lung cancer. It's also associated with oral cancers, esophageal cancers, and if you smoke and drink, you increase the risk of those types of cancer. Smoking puts into the body heavy metals like cadmium, which are carcinogenic. So it's not just lung cancer that you increase the risk of. You actually increase the risk of all cancers because you're stressing the body as far with free radicals and things that just put an additional strain on the body's defenses against things like cancer. So smoking, if you want to reduce your risk of heart disease, stop smoking. Now, there are, I'm looking at a list put out by the American Heart Association, and there are four other symptoms, and we'll get to those in a minute. You have a family history of heart disease. I think those are exaggerated. Clearly, there are families that seem to have more heart disease than other families, but I think a big factor here is lifestyle because you inherit, in a way, your lifestyle. It's not genetic, but you inherit your lifestyle. You tend to live your life in a similar fashion to the way your parents did with regard to how you eat, whether you exercise, and things like that. And people like to use that genetic factor sometimes as an excuse really not to take the steps to take better care of themselves. Now, putting that aside, the other four risk factors, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and obesity, are really the same disease. They've been classified under Syndrome X, also known as insulin resistance syndrome, or those are the two most common names for it. Anyway, what they all have in common is high insulin levels. And the way you get high insulin levels is by consuming more carbohydrates in your diet than you should. And doctors aren't checking for the earliest signs of this condition. In other words, doctors check for diabetes. The way they do that is they check a fasting blood sugar. If it's elevated, you have diabetes. If it's normal, you don't. But that's not the best test anymore, because we know a little bit more. But you know what? That's the test to see if you qualify to be put on a drug. Same thing is true with checking cholesterol. You know, if it's elevated, now you qualify to be put on a drug. The same thing with blood pressure. When it comes to being overweight, you know, the drugs really aren't the best approach, but you still have to lose the weight. But you don't have to focus on weight loss. If you focus on improving your insulin sensitivity, and you do that by cutting back on the carbs, the weight will come off of its own accord. They go on to say here that nearly 80% of all women have at least one risk factor for heart disease. And while breast cancer affects 1 in 8 women, and by the way, that statistic is 1 in 8 women in a lifetime, younger women have a much higher, a lower incidence of breast cancer, but as women get older, those risks increase. Heart disease affects 1 in 3 women. So it's something that you know, everyone should be aware of, particularly women. And so we get back to the risk factors. The main risk factor, besides smoking and a family history of heart disease, is really pretty much what you eat. And the way we look at people in our office when they come in, we'll talk about women in particular. We check their hormone levels, their progesterone, estrogen, testosterone in women, for example. And a very frequent occurrence is you see a estrogen dominance where they have more estrogen than they should for the amount of progesterone they're making. So the way to address that problem is to give the women more progesterone to balance off their estrogen. That in itself is going to be one way to help. The other test that's important, we mentioned doing a fasting insulin level. And the lower that number is, the better. The range is kind of broad. I think the upper limit of the range is something like 9. But getting down around 5 is a much better number. And that would be probably one of the best tests to identify people at risk, because when you have the insulin resistance, those are the people that will, if they haven't already developed it, are the ones that will develop the high blood pressure and the high cholesterol. They may be overweight at that time. So just something to think about. Something that's come out in recent years, you know, there's been a lot of talk about trans fats. And the distinction has to be made between trans fats and saturated fats, because I always thought it was the saturated fats that was causing heart disease. And that's why they said don't have butter, have margarine, don't have red meat, eat fish or chicken, for example. But it turns out the real culprit for causing coronary artery disease was the trans fats. These are the artificial fats that are created when the polyunsaturated fats are heated to high temperatures. Now, sometimes they're there during the cooking process, but sometimes they're there during the manufacturing process of the food, because you can get trans fats in a lot of the packaged foods. These days, they're paying particular attention to it so that it'll say zero trans fats, even though it may not be exactly zero. It's just under their under the number that they feel is appropriate. So that back to the insulin level, you should have your doctor check a fasting insulin level if he's not doing it, when you go for your blood work, because most of the time he's doing a fasting blood test. Get that insulin level done. That's one of the best tests, probably the best test, though, to identify insulin resistance is the glucose insulin challenge test. So that's where you go and you have your fasting blood work done, including a blood glucose and a insulin level, and then you take the drink with a measured amount of carbohydrate in there, and then at the 1 hour and 2 hour mark, you repeat your glucose and insulin levels to see if your body is responding in a normal fashion, because within a 2 hour period, you should be back to baseline. And if you're not, the earliest reason for that is in 2 hours, you'll have a normal blood sugar, but that insulin level remains elevated. So that's a sign of insulin resistance beginning. It can be reversed, but you can't reverse it unless you're told about it, unless the doctor checks for it. Another test that can be done to identify people at risk, but it's not the earliest problem to show up, is a hemoglobin A1C, which is a measurement of your average blood sugar over a three-month period. Like I said earlier, you can have normal blood sugars but still have insulin resistance. In other words, your body has to put out more insulin to control your blood sugar. So looking at insulin levels directly is probably still the best way to detect people at risk of heart disease before it develops. In other words, if you check this early on, and when should that be done? Probably in teenagers. You know, why wait later on in life? But unfortunately, you know, the kids are just being told, go to the doctor, get your vaccinations. I'm not sure they're getting all the blood work necessary to pick up these problems. And what are some of the other problems? Thyroid issues can be a another risk factor for heart disease. Not really discussed much in that context. But it can certainly be helpful. You know, it's funny. My daughter is a veterinarian. And we talked about the thyroid disease in animals and the association with high cholesterol and thyroid problems. You see it in animals. But they don't associate that in humans. But there should be. And right now it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. And we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet couldn't make it today, but she'll be back on Monday. We're talking about heart disease in women because today is National Wear Red Day. That's something that the American Heart Association started about 14 years ago, just to create increased awareness, about heart disease in women, because more women die from heart attacks than men. And I guess that's the main thing, because most women probably think that heart disease is more of a man's disease. In fact, more women die of heart disease than all the cancers combined. And yet women are very concerned about breast cancer. But when it comes to heart disease, perhaps not enough attention is being paid. And we spoke about some of the risk factors: smoking, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, family history, obesity. And this is a list put out by the American Heart Association. They really should have put on there insulin resistance, because that's probably one of the major issues there. Another issue, and it's funny how just recently it's been in the news a lot, lead toxicity in Flint, Michigan, another city in Ohio. But as they start looking for increased lead in the water supplies, guess what? They're finding it. Heavy metal toxicity can lead to coronary artery disease, because that was how the chelation therapy was first discovered to be an effective treatment for coronary artery disease. They were treating military personnel that had been exposed to lead. And as they treated them with chelation therapy to get the lead out of their bodies, those that had angina because they had heart disease noticed an improvement in their symptoms. So that was the way that the association and discovery that chelation was a viable treatment for coronary artery disease came about. And of course, that was back in the 1940s and 50s when it was used. But then with the advent of the heart-lung bypass machine, in other words, the machine that enabled doctors to do surgery, bypass surgery on patients, they discovered that that was a much more lucrative approach to the treatment of heart disease than chelation therapy. So that's where we stand today with how we treat it. And now the interesting thing is, and this is true about medicine across the board, you get what you pay for. So we pay a lot for treating coronary artery disease with coronary artery bypass or with the stents and balloon angioplasties. You know, a lot of money is paid for those things. We don't pay anything, relatively speaking, to keep people from getting sick. And in my opinion, there are two ways to do it. You can pay the physician to make sure he does that he's more thorough and does the testing. But maybe you should create incentives for the consumer, the healthcare consumer, otherwise known as the patient, to take better care of themselves. And that, those incentives could be reductions in their insurance premiums. You know, otherwise what we have is patients who really take care of themselves and never use their insurance because they're healthy are subsidizing those that couldn't care less and don't make the changes necessary. Not to say, you know, we see patients all the time. These changes are changes in life long habits that people have. And what are those habits? It's primarily eating habits. I think there's the establishment has created a lot of confusion out there. At one time, they're telling people cut back on fat and eat carbohydrates. Now they're saying cut back on carbohydrates and fats might be okay. what I usually tell patients is look to nature. See, you know, because nature sort of discovered everything that works. And when you start deviating from nature, you're going to find things that don't work as well. And that's what we're doing. All this processed food that people are eating creates problems. You know, you just have to figure out what type of food we were originally intended to eat. And the first thing that comes to mind is food that's not been processed. So that means if it comes in a can or a container or a package, it's been processed. So you try to collect your food from the periphery of the supermarkets and the produce department, the meat department. That's the first step. But even if you were to find food that hasn't been processed, you have to now take into consideration how it's been grown or raised. So now I'm talking about avoiding a lot of the toxins that come with food. You know, there was a, and you wouldn't think of toxins coming with food. You know, that's not been packaged, but the truth is, yeah, you're getting a lot of toxins. Now, a recent report by the International Federation of Organic Agriculture Movement is now saying that glyphosate, we've talked a lot about that, which is the main ingredient in Monsanto's herbicide, Roundup, is lethal. The whole discrepancy here is you have people saying that it's a potentially deadly substance, and then you have Monsanto saying that glyphosate has an excellent safety profile, stating that since its discovery in the early 1970s, this unique herbicidal active ingredient, namely glyphosate, has become the world's most widely used herbicide because of its effectiveness, its price, and it's environmentally benign. So how do you reconcile the two? One says it's really dangerous. The other say it's perfectly safe. In this particular study put out by that group, the Federation of Organic Agriculture, they say that genetically engineered crops, glyphosate, and deterioration of health in the United States of America was published, that study, and that was the name of it, in the Journal of Organic Systems. And they're finding that when I look at the distribution or use of glyphosate, they're seeing a disturbing, let's say, increase in at least 22 diseases where people have been exposed to glyphosate. They go on to say that glyphosate... Now I can understand how you can have both positions, whereas Monsanto says glyphosate's safe and you have other people saying it's dangerous, because you don't see an immediate cause and effect. You know, for example, with cigarette smoking, you have to smoke for 20 years or longer before you see the effect of it. So one could say, well, must have been something else. You were smoking for so long. I get that from patients all the time. About smoking. They say, I've eaten those foods for so long. How could that be causing the problem? Or I've taken that medication for so long. How could that be causing the problem? And that's what they say with glyphosate. You know, they say, well, you're exposed for it for so long, but it accumulates in your body and the damage is done incrementally over time. And then you reach a certain point and then the more serious illnesses appear. And the reason for that is glyphosate disrupts the endocrine system in people as well as the balance of bacteria in the gut, which only makes sense. You know, it's an herbicide. It kills things. And if you're ingesting it, it's going to kill bacteria in your digestive tract. And when it does that, it damages the DNA, and this is the first step in developing cancer. They noted that glyphosate applications are linked to a long list of ailments and chronic diseases ranging from stroke, cancer of the thyroid, bladder, pancreas, kidney, and liver, also to autism, kidney disease, multiple sclerosis, inflammatory bowel disease. So the point is, you know, let's say that one group says that glyphosate is perfectly safe, and one group says that it's dangerous. What's the prudent approach to take? Should we ignore the group that says it's dangerous or ignore the group that says it's safe? I think you have to err on the side of protecting yourself. And the way you protect yourself is try and eat organic whenever you can. I think that, you know, until someone comes out definitively to say it's dangerous. By the way, the World Health Organization says that glyphosate is a probable carcinogen. So I think it only makes sense. So I... All right, so I think that it only makes sense that those are the steps you take. Another approach that needs to be taken is to avoid plastics. And plastics haven't been around for that long. You know, I think back in the 1970s is when they were introduced. Before that, it was glass. Everything was glass. So that... you know, it's more. Think about it. It's very difficult to avoid plastics. It comes in many sizes and shapes. Almost all your packaged food is in plastics, unless it's in a can. But the lining of the can be dangerous as well. So there are issues that play a, you know, that we have to be aware of. And another ingredient found in the plastics, but also the linings of cans, is BPA, bisphenol A. And, you know, the American Heart Association mentioned all those risk factors for heart disease, but they left this one out as well, because BPA can increase blood pressure and the risk of heart disease. So you have to think about, you know, when we talk about trying to reduce your risk, those are the steps you have to take. How do you undo a lifetime's exposure to plastics once your symptoms develop? The idea is to try and reduce your exposure and reduce your risk as soon as you can. So you, and there are options there. You can, you know, get things in plastic, I mean, in glass whenever you can. I'm just trying to think what, you know, you shouldn't be making, buying juice because it's too high in sugar. So what you should be buying is water. But get your water in glass bottles instead of plastic. That would be one area. I guess milk, the same thing. Shouldn't be having a lot of milk anyway. But if you do, try and get the milk you're using in a glass container. But right now, we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut or your digestive function is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and Janet couldn't make it today, but she'll be back with us on Monday. And today is National Wear Red Day, which is a day set aside to let women know that heart disease is a big risk for them and to increase awareness. And that's what we're trying to do, but there's more things than what they're recommending to be aware of. I came across a study that's looking at BPA, which is bisphenol A. It's found in plastics and the lining of food and beverage cans. And was this kind of interesting study, and it's pretty conclusive, and I think makes the point that you want to avoid BPA. And here's how the study was done. They had 60 volunteers, all of them over the age of 60. And here's how they did the study. They were assigned or put into one of three groups. One group drank soy milk from either two glass bottles, two aluminum cans, or one can and one bottle. 2 hours later, their BPA blood concentration and heart rate variability were measured. And participants abstained from any other food or drink for 8 hours before and 2 hours after drinking the soy milk. Because BPA is used to line food and beverage cans, such containers are considered a major source of human exposure to the chemical. But you don't hear anybody talking about this. In another study that was done, and what they found was just 5 days of eating canned soup, and I know a lot of people eat canned soup, but 5 days of eating canned soup led to a 1,000% increase in BPA levels in the urine compared to eating soup made from fresh ingredients. And they used soy milk in the study because it was shown not to affect blood pressure. So they wanted to remove any other reason to increase blood pressure. So they found that drinking canned soy milk caused BPA concentrations to increase by as much as 1,600% in comparison with drinking bottled soy milk. So here again, drink your beverage from a glass bottle. In addition, drinking two cans of soy milk caused your systolic blood pressure to rise approximately 4.5 milligrams of mercury in comparison with the bottled drink. So they're seeing a direct association between high blood pressure and being exposed to the BPA. A 5 milligram increase in systolic blood pressure by drinking two canned beverages may cause clinically significant problems, especially if you're a patient already with heart disease or high blood pressure. And they say a 20 millimeter per mercury increase in systolic blood pressure doubles the risk of cardiovascular disease. And remember, these are all, these substances like BPA are cumulative in the body. So you have to understand where you're being exposed to it and just take the steps to avoid it. Of course, that study was criticized as saying it's not big enough. But I'm sure the bigger studies will be done. So what's the solution? Try to eat fresh foods or glass bottle contained foods rather than canned foods. And I think we're seeing manufacturers shifting over more and more in this direction. And another recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics back in October 2014 linked BPA exposure during pregnancy to later respiratory problems in kids, like asthma. They found that for every tenfold increase of BPA in the mother during pregnancy, children at age four had a 14% decrease in respiratory status, a 55% increase in risk of wheezing, and a 327% increase in the risk of persistent wheezing. So again, we're just finding more and more reasons to make sure that what we're eating is not being contaminated either by the chemicals used in the growing or raising of the food, and then in the packaging of the food. All these things have to be considered. So the take-home here is whenever you can, get things that are packaged in glass as opposed to any other cans, or I think even the lining of the cardboard containers may have some of these chemicals. So sometimes on the label it might say BPA-free. But, you know, so avoid plastics, use glass, and then for all the other chemicals, you know, try and get your food organically grown. And I think that's going to be the best approach. So today, you know, the information coming out is, you know, heart disease in women. They mentioned briefly, and a lot of people might not be aware of this, in that study, they looked at heart rate variability. And that's a very subtle way of detecting the earliest stages of autonomic dysfunction in the person, which we check in our office. We check that routinely on everybody that comes in. I can tell you the one thing we find when we look at that in patients is people are under a lot of stress and they don't even realize it. And stress is probably the one of the major risk factors for all diseases, and yet you know, people aren't aware of it. I've commented on this fact before at one of the meetings I attended, and I recommend people go to this meeting, the Annie Appleseed Project. I think it's still coming up this year, held in West Palm, and it's basically about cancer. It started off trying to educate women about breast cancer and alternative treatments as opposed to chemo, radiation, and surgery. But more importantly, prevention is still is the best treatment for any disease is prevention. I always, you know, I comment, I said, how can you treat a disease, expect to cure it, when they don't even know how to prevent it? Anyway, I remember at the meeting, they had a group of women who were all breast cancer survivors, and they came to the consensus that they had all experienced a stressful event in their life just prior to discovering a lump in their breast. Stress is a big factor. So in women, when women are under stress, we talked about hormone balancing before, where you want to have enough progesterone to balance out the estrogen. When a woman's under stress, she stops making progesterone in favor of cortisol, the stress hormone, and that automatically causes estrogen levels to be unopposed by progesterone, creating estrogen dominance, and that's a risk factor for breast cancer. So stress is very important, and the way you reduce stress, and we talked about this study from the Scandinavian countries where they saw people in a sauna had a lower incidence of heart attacks and heart disease. Well, it may not be the sauna per se, although I think that's helpful in getting rid of toxins in your body, but just sitting still in a quiet environment is a way of reducing stress. So just something to think about. Sitting still in a quiet environment as a way of reducing stress. Think about how many times a day you do that. And the answer is probably zero. So by the way, we see that also in the office when we do when we check heart rate variability and measure stress levels. We see that before and after some of the treatments we have here that require people to sit still for an hour or so. And I'm talking about, you know, different IVs, chelation, nutrients.
Harris cocktails. The follow-up measurement is much better. So just consider stress and think about what to do about it. Exercise, if you're not overdoing it, because a lot of people might tend to overdo it, but exercise in a controlled fashion will reduce stress as well. But just remember, consider stress, because we don't have a good measurement for it. So you have to think about that. I think we're just about out of time for today's program. I'd like to thank all our listeners. Don't forget, our program is sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers, where you can get all manners of blood work done, including measuring glyphosate levels. So I just want to remind everybody about that. We're here every Monday through Friday. That's Janet and myself from 10 to 11, where we talk about the latest issues in health. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.